Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today, I'm bringing you part one of an eight-part series entitled Through the Valley, with today's message specifically entitled Lament and Repentance, based off of Psalm 51, verses 1 through 17. So let us dive into the Word today. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't let me keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Amen. Some of our deepest troubles can come from within us. As we bring them to God, we can grieve and turn from our sins with a readiness to receive God's ever-present grace. Truth be told, I have struggled with guilt and repentance in the past, not because I feel I am perfect and have nothing to repent, but because when I came back to Christ, I was sensitive to the sins I had committed in my life up to that point. I knew I had walked away from God for a number of years, and I knew that there was nothing I could do to change the things I had done. All healthy things, except that I took it to an unhealthy extreme. I remember every time I would pray, I would lament my past actions, and I would beat myself up before God, praying for forgiveness over and over and over and over again. The guilt was rightfully there, the lament was in order. However, I allowed the guilt to consume me, and no matter how much I prayed for God's forgiveness, I could not forgive myself. Eventually, God reached me in those prayers, and God spoke to me, telling me that my sins were forgiven, that I had just had to trust in God and follow. And when that clicked, I experienced a healing in my soul which I had never felt before. Still, it took me a long time to get there, and my relationship with God did not grow until I was able to let go of my own guilt and give that along with my repentance to God. Now, Ash Wednesday is about mortality, but it is also about recognizing our need for God as limited and flawed human beings. On Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the Lenten season, we often talk about repentance and turning away from our sin towards God. This year through Lent, our church will be focusing on lament, expressing sorrow, pain, suffering to God in prayer. Truth be told, there can often be a connection between repentance and lament. Though this is not always the case, as, for example, when we are lamenting the loss of a loved one, there's no need to repent, but we are lamenting all the same. Now, Psalm 51, verses 1 through 17 shows this connection. The psalmist here laments his own sin. He is expressing his grief and sorrow to God about the things that he has done that have separated him from God in verses 1 through 9. But before I move forward, let me just say that this psalmist, traditionally understood to be David in the scenario after he has had an affair with Bathsheba and has murdered her wife Uriah. So that's traditionally where this psalm is coming from, though we don't know if David actually wrote it or not. But before, again, I move forward, let me just say that this happens to be the case for this psalmist, that he has done something wrong and he is lamenting his sin. But not all suffering is a result of sin or a result of our own personal sin. That's the case here, but not always the case. With that said, the psalmist recognizes and laments his suffering, but is self-aware and truthful in acknowledging that at least parts of it flow from his own actions and transgressions. In verse 5, the psalmist claims to be born a sinner. But I wonder what he meant by that claim. I do not believe that the psalmist believed he was guilty of sinning as a baby, but I wonder if he was reflecting on a sense that there has always been a level of separation from God. I wonder if, like the rest of us, he was observing the broken world he and we are all born into. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know there's something wrong in the world that needs God's love and forgiveness to fix it. We just have to turn on the news to see that. Still, in lamenting his sin, the psalmist moves to repentance. It is one thing to know that something is wrong and to name it. It is another thing to recognize our own role in it and to take the next step of inviting God to work on and in us. And just to remind you of the story of David, he had been on the roof at night in the evening, staring out into space, and happened to look down on a rooftop and see Bathsheba bathing, and found her beautiful, and, well, he desired her and made it happen. Now, after having this affair with Bathsheba, whose husband was in war, in camp, in war, defending the kingdom, so to speak. And there's David having an affair with Bathsheba, whether Bathsheba wanted to or not. You can just imagine the king coming and saying, hey, I want this. Are you going to say no to the king? So it's hard to say whether Bathsheba wanted it or not, but the fact is he had an affair with her, and then to cover it up, he tried to get get Uriah to leave his ranks to go spend time with his wife, so that way it would look like, you know, he got her pregnant rather than David getting her pregnant. But Bathsheba wasn't going to do that. He was a man of honor. He wasn't going to leave his men to go stay with his wife, and so David went to plan B, and that was put Uriah in the front line so that he would die. And that is the sin that David is lamenting here. So he's taking, and then of course, you know, he thought he could get away with that, but Nathan the prophet came up and said, no, God knows what you did, and God's not happy. And so David takes ownership of it. Rather than trying to point the finger or make excuses, he takes ownership of it here in the psalm, if this is David writing the psalm. And verse 17 speaks of a broken spirit as the sacrifice acceptable to God. This broken spirit comes from being uncomfortable and dissatisfied with what is contrary to God's will for us. The way this psalm is written is deeply personal, using I language, not we. Especially in the beginning of the Lenten season. We must start where we as individuals with deep self-reflection, though throughout Lent we do move to more communal self-reflection as well. So we start off as individuals with deep self-reflection, but then we, of course, through Lent move to more communal self-reflection as well. With that said, I want you to notice the presence of God in this passage. If we yield ourselves, there is a litany of things that God can do in, with, through, for, and even in spite of us. Repentance is a release that allows us to move forward and accept God's loving work in us. So I want to invite you to reflect on something that needs to change in your lives. To identify the suffering that has come from it. And to both lament, express pain, sorrow that you've experienced because of it to God in prayer. And repent, to turn away from the sin towards God. To turn away from the sin and towards God, excuse me. Conversely, once you've expressed that lament, I want you to feel God's loving presence, forgiving you, calling you to put your trust in God even more. Friends, as a people of God, we are being called to be honest about who and where we are in our faith. There's no hiding it from God, and besides, true growth comes through reflection and repentance. For if we don't reflect, we will never see ourselves as we are, and we will never recognize any reason to change. And without change, there can be no growth. I want you to think about this. How many of you stayed at toddler height? None of us, right? Because we kept growing. Even the shortest among us didn't stay the size of infants. We grew and we changed. Without change, there can be no growth. So friends, let us embrace this practice of reflection, lament, and repentance. For it is a necessary part of our spiritual, emotional, and even physical development as human beings. Let us put our trust in God enough to be honest and repent the areas we need to change the direction of our lives in. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this message, a message of hope, but of also of challenge, one that challenges us to take ownership for the things we've done, take ownership for the direction of our lives, and to once again place our lives back in your hands and to follow your lead as you lead us from where we are to where you have created us to be. In all these things, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and trust that you are working in our lives to bring us from, again, where we are to where you have called us to be. We thank you, praise you, and put our trust in you in Jesus' name. Amen. And with that said, friends, I want to thank you and for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to be delivering these to you, and I hope you're getting as much out of them as I am giving them. With that said, I would like to remind you to check out our episode notes. There are links in there, particularly the links to our giving pages. If you have it in you to be able to give and support the ministry of First United Methodist Church of Newton, that would be great. If not, and you are attending a church elsewhere, I hope that you will continually support your congregation. And if you have it in you just to give to both, neither one of us would be lamenting that, so to speak. With that said, thank you again for tuning in. And remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.